This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
One of now former President Barack Obama's last acts in office was to sign this year's National Defense Authorization Act back on December 23rd. The act specifies budget expenditures for the U.S. Department of Defense. This year's act also includes $160 million for something called the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act. The result will be a new bureaucracy meant to shut down any information which does not conform to U.S. propaganda narratives. Rick Sterling is an independent investigative journalist. His article, The War Against Alternative Information, is available on the website consortiumnews.com. And he joins us on the phone from his home. Hello, Rick.
Good morning, Jim.
What are some of the ways the U.S. currently manages their information or propaganda?
Well, through the mainstream media and through the way they can control access to the White House, it basically for, you know, decades now, the White House has been able to basically control the way they present the news by, you know, not allowing access to the White House from publications that they don't like. That's not widely talked about, but it's widely known in Washington.
How will this new act add to that current program?
Well, this new act, the new so-called Center for Global Engagement, is going to be a separate body, and its specific task is to identify and counter what they call foreign propaganda and disinformation. So it's really going a step beyond anything that we have right now. And it's actually, it's tasked with working with foreign governments as well. And it's also got a $20 million slush fund to provide money to NGOs and private contractors to work for them in doing what they call countering foreign propaganda. So I would imagine that could involve smear campaigns against journalists who write things that they think are propaganda.
The term countering propaganda does sound a bit ominous. Is it likely only going to involve just counterfactual claims, or will there be more to it?
Well, time will tell. They've been given 180 days, so basically 6 months, to get this Center for Global Engagement up and running. It's going to be initiated under the direction of the Secretary of State in collaboration with the Department of Defense and the Department of the Director of National Intelligence. And so it's supposed to be up and running by the end of June 2017, and then we'll see what sorts of actions they take. But we can predict that they won't be very transparent about what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait and see what we can learn about their actions.
Is there a chance that companies like Facebook and Google may be involved in perhaps even blocking some sites?
I think, well, that's going on right now, very strongly. In fact, I was just 30 minutes ago looking at an interesting post from a colleague, Vanessa Beely, who has been very active in Syria. And she sent me a photograph of Stephen O'Brien, who heads up one of the UN agencies. And he was on his way to the World Economic Forum, where he was going to be having a meeting with leaders of Facebook, and they were going to be talking about how they were going to be working together to spread news about events. And I mean, if it was If it was really objective and impartial, you know, perhaps that would be a good thing. But we've seen a lot of examples where accounts, basically Facebook accounts, have been shut down of people who are spreading information which runs counter to their narrative of reality. So it's somewhat worrisome because we're seeing the government connected to this huge influential social media organization.
In your article, you go into quite a bit of detail talking about the conflict or war in Syria as a particular case study. Can we start with what is the dominant story that we are being told about this war?
Well, from the beginning, the narrative has been there were peaceful protests against the brutal dictatorship. The protesters wanted freedom and democracy, and they were violently attacked. And in the wake of that, the so-called civil war began, and then there was the intrusion of Islamist or sectarian groups, and it's gone from there. So that has been their narrative. It's been basically a black hat versus white hat, with the so-called rebels generally being painted in favorable terms and the so-called regime being painted in very dark colors. And there's, you know, in the background, behind that, there has been basically a mountain of lies and fraud. Some of it is very obvious, and it was explicitly discovered, such as Richard Engel's so-called kidnapping in 2013 or 2014, when he was supposedly kidnapped and by Shabiha, by supporters of Bashar al-Assad, and then he was rescued by Free Syrian Army rebels. The whole thing turned out to be a hoax. You know, conducted by the so-called Free Syrian Army to promote themselves. So there have been ones like that that were really overt and are now, you know, there's no question about. And then there's been many others, such as the sarin gas attack in August 2013 in outer Damascus in Ghouta, which was initially blamed on the Syrian government. But all of the serious investigations subsequent to that have pointed to the attacks actually being done by one of the terrorist factions with support from Turkey. So there's basically a string of falsehoods that follow the basic track of sympathy for the quote-unquote rebels and painting the government in Damascus in very negative colors, you know, worthy of overthrowing, and Assad has to go.
So in contrast to that, what would be the counter-narrative to what we're being told?
Well, the counter-narrative, which I think is the much more accurate one, is that the West has had its eye on Syria for many years. General Wesley Clark actually talked about this in 2007 on Democracy Now! Talk, and he actually spoke at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco as well, where there were seven countries identified for overthrow in the Pentagon, and several of them have been invaded or have had the governments overthrown, such as in Iraq and Libya. And Syria was prominent on that list as well. So the counter narrative is that the West and their Gulf allies, as well as Israel, for a variety of reasons, has funded a war on Syria to overthrow the government. And there's basically, it's public information that Canada, as well as Australia and France, the UK and many other countries, in addition to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey, and have been funneling hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars in weapons and support to the proxy armies of foreign fighters as well as some domestic mercenaries who have been fighting to overthrow the government.
One specific example you've got in your article, you talk about the Syrian Civil Defense Group, normally known as the White Helmets. What do we need to know about this group?
This is a really, it's a beautiful example because it's emblematic of the whole war, how social media has been used today to give a very misleading image of what's going on and to win public support in the West, which is necessary to continue the war. The White Helmets is portrayed as being civilian volunteers in Syria who are working in battle zones, and they're basically rescuing civilians from buildings that have been hit by air attacks. And they're portrayed as being independent and neutral and so forth. The reality is that the group was founded in 2013 by a British military contractor training some Syrians in Turkey, and that it has been heavily funded ever since by the United States and by the UK. As well, it is overtly political. The leaders of the White Helmets have explicitly called for NATO intervention in Syria. So it's not independently neutral or politically neutral or independent at all. It's heavily allied with the West. In the recent times, it's become a go-to source for news and information about what's going on in the conflict. For example, in December in Aleppo, in East Aleppo, when the opposition held portion of the city where there were very few civilians remaining, the news media in the West was relying on reports based on the reports of White Helmets as if they were independent, neutral observers, and all of their history demonstrates that they are not. And the irony is that there's actually a real Syria civil defense that was founded in the 1950s, and that's part of the International Civil Defense Organization's body, and that this kind of hoax organization that is heavily allied with Al-Qaeda, this is the official Al-Qaeda branch in Syria, that they began their operations by stealing the firefighting equipment and some ambulance equipment from the real Syria Civil Defense Organization and killing the workers from the authentic Syrian Civil Defense. So it's basically been used to present a feel-good image to the West, which is attractive. In fact, I first heard about the White Helmets from a friend of mine who said to me, hey, you know, there's so much bad going on there. It's great to hear about this group that's independent and all it's doing is trying to rescue people. And it turns out that there's basically been a mountain of lies told about this group, that when one peels back the layers, it's really not who it's presented to be.
Democracy Now! Is a news source you cite specifically in your article. They're very well known here at our station. We air the program and rely on them quite a bit as an alternative source of news. How does that show fit in this narrative that you're describing?
Well, you know, I've been a big supporter of Democracy Now! For decades now, going back to its beginnings at BAI in New York. But unfortunately, Democracy Now! Has dropped the ball on Syria. Their presentations have not been alternative. They have given a very biased presentation, and they have primarily featured people who talk about a so-called Syrian revolution, or they have featured individuals who are connected with the official, Western-supported opposition in one way or another, such as the local coordination councils, which have received primary funding out of Washington. So, and they also, amazingly, they did a glowing piece on this propaganda a documentary movie on the White Helmets without any serious criticism at all. And I was actually interviewed by, Israeli TV did a better job of presenting the pros and the cons of the White Helmets than Democracy Now! did. So they've really dropped the ball on this, and as outstanding as they are in so many areas, in this subject, they have not given a balanced coverage, and they've, instead of exposing the propaganda, they've actually been promoting it.
So clearly we're going to need to be much more critical ourselves about everything we read and hear now.
Yeah. Syria is really the first time where we're seeing the full extent of the power of social media in terms of manipulating the public opinion fully demonstrated. And it's interesting because Hillary Clinton in her book titled Hard Choices about her time as Secretary of State, she speaks explicitly to this, how the State Department under her direction trained over 1,000 quote-unquote Syrian activists and independent journalists. And the powers that be are very quick, and they also have a lot of influence at the top levels of Twitter or Facebook or the different powerful social media engines. So they're using these tools to manipulate the public opinion very effectively, and we need to be wary of that, and make sure we're evaluating what's accurate and what's not. With an objective eye.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Rick, for speaking with me about this today.
Pleasure.
I've been speaking with Rick Sterling. He is an independent investigative journalist based in the San Francisco area. His article, The War Against Alternative Information, can be found at the Consortium News website, which is consortiumnews.com. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and streaming live at cooperadio.org.